Texans. Do you work in industries such as trucking, agriculture, or construction? Then you might be operating equipment that we want to help you upgrade or replace. The Texas Emissions Reduction Plan provides funding to help Texans upgrade or replace their old equipment and vehicles. From trucks, tractors, forklifts, school buses, and more, we have grants that can benefit you and your business. Want to be the first to know when new grants open? Sign up for email updates at texasvehiclegrants.org. That's texasvehiclegrants.org.
And welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini, and this show is brought to you by Heather Barnes Media, as well as Play Audio. And today we are so pleased to have on our show Janet Singer Applefield. And this is a celebration and honoring of Jewish American Heritage Month and her survival experience. She has a new memoir out called Becoming Janet, Finding Myself in the Holocaust. It debuted May the 7th, 2024, so just a few days ago. And we are so glad to have you on the show, Janet, and honor you today. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Okay, so instead of me reading about all the detail behind your childhood, would you be so kind to give us the backstory? But don't give it all away, because we want them to buy your book and to read about you.
Certainly. So I speak to over 4,000 people a year. I speak in schools, in synagogues, churches, libraries, corporations. I even presented in front of the Massachusetts State Legislature, upon which they passed a law teaching genocide education in all the middle schools and high schools. And what's exceptional about my speaking is that I have a lot of photographs and artifacts, and it's most unusual for survivors to have that. So my story really reads like a novel. It starts, I'm standing, I'm 87 years old, excuse me, and I'm standing in front of 200 middle school students, telling them my story, sharing my story, and behind me is a screen and a photo of a four-year-old toddler with her dog appears. That is my four-year-old self. And the story unfolds. It is the voice of the little child. This little girl has an extreme ability to adopt many different identities. And at first, I adopt the identity of a little Polish Catholic girl who died, and I become her. And then later on, I have another identity. So what helps me and saves me is my appearance. This little girl is blonde with green eyes, looking like a typical Aryan child. And also, this little girl is able to keep secrets. She always knows that she's Jewish, but she knows the dangers of revealing her true identity. So, this is a story that is extremely challenging and interesting. And what's also interesting is the fact that my caregivers sometimes are they're cruel and they're mean, and other times they're kind. And so it's a story of the forces of good and evil that are run throughout the story.
It's a beautiful story, and I want to reinforce to anyone else of your generation that might have experienced this, to please document it and chronicle it, because the role of storytelling in continuing history and making sure that the next generation really understands it is more and more important today than ever. your experience in teaching and reaching is, we're so grateful for that. I'm wondering if you have a chance to talk to those students after the presentation so they can ask you questions. And if so, what are some of the most illuminating questions that you've received lately?
I'm glad you asked that question, because two examples come to mind. One 11-year-old girl came up to me after I completed my presentation, and she said, "You were so brave. You have taught me to be braver." And another student, a 17-year-old boy, came up to me and asked me the question, "How do I speak to my family who are anti-Semitic?" So I know that I have connected with these students. I know I have touched them, and I'm very honored to know that they trust me and are able to ask me very personal and vulnerable questions.
Yeah. Wow. That's powerful, too. And the importance of parents approaching difficult topics like the Holocaust and today's ongoing hate speech toward the Jewish community with their children. Those are two white hot topics. Why is it important to open up that dialogue within a family? And what are some tips that you can give to parents today?
I think we live in a very turbulent times. There's a lot of divisiveness. And children are exposed to so much today on television and radio, and they hear things. And so it is important for parents to address some of these issues. But of course, it's important to use the language that's age appropriate, so you don't want to scare them. But, you know, when I was a child, it was believed that children didn't understand and they didn't have to explain anything to them. And I was never told what was happening, what was going on. And yet I knew there was something very dangerous happening because, you know, people were crying. My mother, my grandmother, people were desperately, you know, trying to understand, you know, to deal with what was happening. And yet they did not share that with their children. So I think it is important for parents to address some of these issues, and so that the children are not so frightened.
Thank you for that. Would you please describe the remarkable reunion that you had with your father after 3 years, 8 moves, and 7 caretakers?
I had no idea if my father or mother were alive. I was in an orphanage, and one day the director of the orphanage went to the refugee center to pick up some provisions, and she overheard a man asking about his child. She said to him, "Could you describe what your father looks, what your daughter looks like?" And he did. He explained, this little girl had blonde hair, long braids, a birthmark on her left thigh, and she said, "You know, I think I think I have your daughter." Mm-hmm. She came back to the orphanage and called me down to her office and said, "I have wonderful news. Your dad has survived." And I will always remember that reunion because I was so frightened of him. He looked like a skeleton. He was emaciated and he was kissing and hugging and telling me he's going to take me. I did not want to go with him because for the first time I had friends. And the director of the orphanage was our mother. We called her mother. My father was really sick. He could not take me right away. So he rented a room nearby, and he got stronger. He gained weight, and eventually he was able to take me. And we went back to our town. But even then, we were not safe because there were notes posted on our door saying we would be murdered. People were murdered. Jews were murdered after the war. Anti-Semitism was surging. And my father lost a couple of friends after the war. My father went to the police chief asking for protection, and the police chief said that all he could do is to give my father a gun. So my father slept with a gun, and it became apparent that we could not stay in our town, so we had to leave, and we moved to the city.
And eventually you became that American girl, and you had to navigate a new country, new language, new culture. Tell us about that experience.
Yes, I had never been to school. I was almost 12 when I came to this country. And my uncle took me to register me for school.
Texans, do you work in industries such as trucking, agriculture, or construction? Then you might be operating equipment that we want to help you upgrade or replace. The Texas Emissions Reduction Plan provides funding to help Texans upgrade or replace their old equipment and vehicles. From trucks, tractors, forklifts, school buses, and more, we have grants that can benefit you and your business. Want to be the first to know when new grants open? Sign up for email updates at texasvehiclegrants.org. That's texasvehiclegrants.org.
Decisions, decisions.
Wait a minute. Are you still looking for cars on Carvana?
Yeah. Decisions, decisions.
When I use Carvana, I found the exact car I was looking for in minutes. Bought it on the spot.
Electric or full diesel? Decisions.
Come on. You've been at it for weeks. Just buy it already.
You're right. Crossover it is. Decisions decided.
Whether you know exactly what you want or like to take your time, buy your car the convenient way with Carvana.
And right there in the school office, he said to me, what name do you want? You have to have an American name. I was caught by surprise with that question. I thought for a moment, and I came up with the name Jeanette, because we had a cousin who was French. She lived in Paris. She used to visit in the summer. She was very beautiful and glamorous, and she had long red nails, and her name was Jeanette. So I said, I would like my name to be Jeanette. My uncle turned to the school secretary and said, her name is Janet. So that's how I became Janet. But everything was very different and very new and very exciting. I also had a new stepmother because we came on a 90-day visitor's visa. In 90 days, we had another visa allowing us to go to Venezuela. So the only way we could remain in this country was if my father could marry an American citizen. So the family looked around and they found him a wife. So I also had a new stepmother, and everything was new to me.
Fascinating how you adjusted and how you adapted. Maybe that's one of the greater themes in here too, is your personal agility.
I was always able to adapt because I don't know why I'm saying because I don't really understand that I was able to be so flexible and adjust to new situations. So whatever I was told to do, I did. Keep a secret. I kept a secret. Moved to a new place, new school, new friends. I was good at that. I was able to do it.
Truly amazing. When you were working on your memoir, what were some of the surprises that you learned?
Well, there are always new things that one discovers when you dig deeply. One of the most wonderful things that happened to me was that in 2012, I was contacted by a young Polish historian who was doing her research on, she was doing a dissertation for her thesis, and she found my website and contacted me. She was the one who did all the research on my family, so I was very fortunate because all along, I really didn't know what happened to my family, how they died, and the circumstances around that. She was the one who discovered or research all this information. So I know exactly how my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, my cousins, how everybody died. So as I was writing and I was able to use this research, it was certainly extremely helpful because I really know just what happened to my family.
There must have been a certain sadness in reliving, recalling all of that. How did you get through that as an author, as a woman, as a little girl again?
I know that when I speak to students, and I know that their questions, their attention to the story, and their comments are very inspirational. I think that's what really feeds my soul, knowing that I am helping them, and at the same time, I feel that they are helping me in many, many ways. So, you know, writing the book was not easy. I also have had the assistance of my family, who are very devoted to me and to the story and getting the story out. So it's been a difficult process, but very rewarding.
It must have been. Do you recall an Italian filmmaker by the name of Federico Fellini?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I only mention that because he used to make a film and then he would go back and he would say, gosh, I wish I could have changed that. Or, man, it's just not as good as it could have been. When you look back on your beautiful memoir, what did you leave out that should have been in that book?
Well, the family's history is a very interesting one. There was so much more that could have been written about the family, about how they lived their lives and how they died. I know a lot more that has been put into the book. I wanted this book not to be a burden, not to be over historical, because this was not a historical book. And so I made the choice not to include some of those important facts. In fact, it's been asked of me about writing another book, you know, what has happened to my life since the end of the story, this end of the book. So, you know, perhaps someday the rest of the story will come out.
Well, you've written a beautiful book. The book is Becoming Janet, Finding Myself in the Holocaust. As we go to commercial break, I'm going to throw it your way. Where can our listeners purchase your book and maybe even get an autographed copy?
Well, the book is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all the independent bookstores. And it's also available on Kindle and Nook. And pretty soon it will be an Audible book also.
Very good. Any chance of our
autograph? Well, if you live in Massachusetts, that's possible. Or if you mail me the book, I can sign it and mail it back.
That's a good idea. We will capture Janet's mailing address and put that in the show notes. And we will make sure that folks have a chance to contact you and send their words of love to you. We will be right back after this quick commercial message.
Hello, I'm Heather Barnes, food and product photographer and storyteller behind the lens. Our Austin-based team is all about visual solutions. For your brand, it's essential for your product to be memorable and have stickiness. Our clients like Ghirardelli, Tiff's Treats, and Nautamu choose our photography to develop positive associations with their brand. They call our work inspiring because it moves consumers into a relationship with their company. And we can do the same for you. Learn more today at heatherbarnes.com. Focused on you, your story, and your success with memorable photography garnished with love.
Okay, we are back and talking with author Janet Applefield. And Janet was just telling me that you can go to her website, janetapplefield.com, to get more information. And we're gonna wrap up today's show with maybe a couple more, let's call it deeper philosophical questions. You experienced the Holocaust. We would never wish that upon anybody else, but is it possible that the next generation can find themselves in the Holocaust?
I don't believe that anything of that magnitude can ever happen. Although genocides are continuing in many different places in the world, I'm very proud of the fact that Massachusetts is one of the 23 states that has adopted a genocide education bill. So it is mandated to teach this subject in middle schools and high schools. So it is my hope that more states will adopt such law.
Very good.
I feel that education is the most important thing or aspect of preventing such a catastrophe as the Holocaust.
Absolutely. And I think that your book is so inspiring that people can actually find themselves by reading your book and learning about hope and resilience and tenacity and what it means to look to tomorrow. So it's absolutely remarkable, and I don't want to understate that at all. We study success versus significance here in our network. You have moved way beyond success into the realm of significance. I'd love for you to tell us what you think that means at your young age. What does it mean to go beyond just the chasing down of a dollar or a career or titles and move into something that means something to somebody else, especially when it comes to legacy?
I believe that having good relationships with obviously family, friends, I believe in kindness is the most important aspect of your humanity. Kindness has a ripple effect, and also love. Those are the important things that I think that make people happy. Being kind, being giving, being accepting people on the basis of their character and not race or religion. I think that's what, for me, is success. It means success, to be successful in life.
Beautiful words. She is Janet Singer Applefield. Her book is one that you have to have or give as a gift. Becoming Janet, Finding Myself in the Holocaust, just debuting this May of 2024. Janet, it is an honor to have honored you. Thank you for gracing us with your wit and wisdom and your experience, and you are so inspiring.
I thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And it's a pleasure. It is our pleasure. That was Janet Applefield. And folks, as we always say here, we wish you success, but on your individual way to significance. Have a good day.
Texans, do you work in industries such as trucking, agriculture, or construction? Then you might be operating equipment that we want to help you upgrade or replace. The Texas Emissions Reduction Plan provides funding to help Texans upgrade or replace their old equipment and vehicles. From trucks, tractors, forklifts, school buses, and more, we have grants that can benefit you and your business. Want to be the first to know when new grants open? Sign up for email updates at texasvehiclegrants.org. That's texasvehiclegrants.org.